Thank you. Good morning. As we're here this morning, I want to mention that Pastor Thomas is not with us this morning. He is homesick. And also Pastor Taylor is out of town. And I wish you a happy Easter week. Amen. Can anybody tell me where it all started? In Egypt. When? No, I didn't mean when as what date, what time, but I mean what the circumstances, what was it about? Amen. So that's all it was started. It's very, very important. I didn't want to assume that everybody knew, but it started in Egypt. And this week is the last week of our Lord on earth. And a lot happened this week. And do you know the Bible covers more of Easter than even the birth of Christ? 20 chapters in the New Testament are devoted to this week. 20 chapters. That's a big chunk of the Bible. So that's how important it is. So as we are here this morning, and you're going to have a message and that will have to do with Palm Sunday or the first week when this last week, I really would ask you to pay some attention. Jesus has a lot to teach us this morning. Amen. Alex, let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity you give us, Lord, to worship you this morning. And right now we are about to hear your word. And Lord, your servant, that's you need to clean quick, Lord, that you may use him. And Lord, prepare the heart that will receive, and let their hearts be soft, and Lord, that they may receive and your word may be effective. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's all started in Egypt. And we can read that from Exodus 12, 1 to 13, and that's what we're going to. This is the whole story. But if we, 1 to 3, for example, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for in house. This morning we're going to talk about Jesus being the lamb, being the comforter, and being the surveyor. Jesus as the lamb, and this is the lamb we are talking about here. God told them in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. So everybody would have to be connected to a lamb. Okay? And verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So not only they will take it out, but it will stay in the house for about 4 days before they kill it in the 14th. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. And I jump to verse 11, the last words. It says, it is the Lord's Passover. So this is where it all started. it is the Lord's Passover. And the Bible goes ahead to explain that. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So that's what Passover is about. The Lord will see the blood, the angel of death, and it will pass over the house. So I think you have a pretty much understanding what's going on when all this took place. And that's why John, in John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So that's what he meant. Jesus as being the Lamb of God. And Apostle Paul, when he was some kind of rebuking the Christians, he reminded them of that in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. He says, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ is our Passover. He was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And of course, it all was prophesied by the prophet Daniel in Daniel 9. That we know, we don't have to read all that, but definitely Zechariah 9:9, where the prophet prophesies, he said, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So that's what's prophesied. There is no doubt about that. Jesus is the Lamb. And what we call today the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, this is what we just read. And that's what I will ask you to stand up with me, and we're going to read the triumphal entry. This is Jesus coming. Mark chapter 11, 1 to 11, and that's what we'll read together. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And said unto them, Right. May the Lord bless this portion of the scriptures for the edification of our souls this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. And when he came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. One thing I see here, you know how the Bible doesn't tell us who the disciples were, but they went in the mission. This mission was a very important one. But you know, the disciples are unknown to men, but they are known to God. They are known to God. And God has a record for what I do, for what you do, regardless who knows and who doesn't know. He said, even a cup of water will not go unnoticed. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. In no wise. I like that about that. I mean, regardless who notice and who doesn't, he says, in no wise. So we don't need men to know as long as God knows what is going on. So we're going to see right now Jesus as a comforter. The comforter to know that Jesus knows everything about us. When he sent us in missions, he already knows everything. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes that he sent on the mission. Maybe somebody else here, probably from Africa, from Haiti, or wherever you come from, you may have a better understanding how it wasn't an easy mission to go and untie somebody's ass. It's not an easy mission. For you to understand it this day, you have to look at it as Jesus sent you to go out, take somebody's car. Okay, it's like Jesus said, go ahead and the first dealer you find and there will be a brand new car parked, just come out of the truck and go ahead, the key will be in it. Go ahead, start it and bring it to me. That's the way for you to understand it. So it wasn't something like, okay, easy and just go. And Jesus already knew this guy would say, Lord, you asking me to go take somebody's car? I mean, so because he knows what's going on around us, he prepares them. He anticipated. I mean, he knows what's going on. He wanted to comfort them. He wanted to say, don't worry about it. I know what you are thinking about, but be at peace. Be at peace. He prepares them for the questions, and then he gave them the answer. He tells them what is going to be asked to them, and then he told them what to answer. And then, you know, he even tells them what the result will be. Isn't that comforting? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change his way of doing business. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He knows everything. We are not out of his sight. He said, I am with you always. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. So sometimes, and it's natural, and I'm glad Jesus knows it, that it can be scary. It can be, you don't know. But Jesus knows, and that's all that counts. All it says, go. I will be with you. That's comforting. And another thing I see from this scripture is that the Lord hath need. Not too many places, and we should even ask ourselves, how come he's the master of the universe? He owns everything. How come he has need? That's what it says. It says they're going to ask you, why are you untying the donkey? And you're going to tell him, Jesus hath need of him. Jesus could just go ahead, create a donkey. He had that power. But for his earthly ministry, he has need. And I mean, he has need of you, he has need of me. It's not a need that he cannot do without me, without you, but he has need of us. He needs us to be his voice. He could use that. He needs us to be his love. He needs us to be his hands, his feet. He needed a donkey to fulfill that prophecy. He needed that. But remember his words? Is that the gospel would be preached all over the world? Who do you think he's going to use? Do you think he will make a miracle and bring angels to come do it? No, he sent you, he sent me. So he needs us. He owes everything, but he doesn't have the titles, the deed for anything. This donkey really is his. The owner of the donkey is his. But he doesn't exercise eminent domain. He doesn't say, you know what, it's mine, I take it. He asks for it. And then he even said he will send it back as soon as he finished with it. He's not going to keep it. He says, as soon as I'm finished with it, I'm done, I'm taking it back. Jesus wants us to offer ourselves with love and gratitude. He's not going to say, you don't have a choice. You have to. I need you. He's not going to confiscate our property. He's not going to take our lives and then take it. I'm sorry, I got it. No, he wants you to willingly to offer yourself. Remember, to humble us down, to see it as an honor. Remember while he was coming and the people were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us now. Psalm 118, save us now. But you know, they were under the occupation of the Roman Empire. The leaders, they did not like the people crying that because that can cause trouble to them. So that's why they were telling Jesus, please, Lord, have those to stop yelling because we can get in trouble. But Jesus said, you know what, I'm sorry. If they stop, what will happen? And I'm sure there were more rocks than people. So I'm saying, so that's what happened. I mean, if we don't offer ourselves, Jesus has many other ways he can make that happen. So really, it's a privilege for you and for me to be part of what's going on. Elijah said he was jealous for the Lord, because the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down his altar, and slain the prophets with the sword. And he said, I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Elijah thought he was the man. Say, Lord, I'm your hope. I'm the only one, and you need me, Lord, and they're seeking me. And if they got me, it's all over. And God replies, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. He needs us, he wants us, he calls us, but remember, we are not indispensable. So we should be humble. When I read about, of course, the prophecy whereon never men sat like the donkey, and that's the kind of bring back memories for me growing up, because I grew up in farm, and I'm sure you watch enough Western to know that you cannot just take a young donkey or mule or horse, just go ahead and sit on it. You know that, right? What happened? It has to be broken and trained for ride. Yeah. You cannot, I mean, there, you have to break that animal. But this donkey was obedient to the master. Humble. And that's what happened. You and I, sometimes, arrogance and pride and all kind of stuff hinder us, and we need to be broken first, and the Lord would love to just go ahead and sit on us. And I like what Peter said about, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elders, ye, and listen to this, all of you, be subject one to another. All of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. This donkey made history. And we can too. And of course, straight away he will send the donkey back. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without. And of course, the questions were asked, the answer. And the people were, you know, they put their clothes upon it and singing Hosanna. And verse 11, that's where we're going to see Jesus as the surveyor. Verse 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. Now, do you remember we read that they had to keep the lamb for 4 days and then kill it? According to Daniel prophecy in Daniel 9, and scholars, people who trace the weeks down, the day Jesus came in was the exact day prophet Daniel prophesied. It was the exact day. And Jesus would come as the lamb. He was among the people. That's when all the people would come with their lamb. And they had to stay there, you know, for that 4 days. So everybody would have their lamb with them. The 10th day and in 4 days, they were going to kill it. So Jesus came as the lamb, and he was going to be crucified the same day that lamb was supposed to be killed. That's how exact this prophecy was. So he went, he had looked around about upon all things. He went in into the temple, and he walked around looking, survey, and make estimation, and looking at everywhere, everything. And the Bible says the evening came, and he went out to sleep outside, and he came back, and you know the rest of the story. But the good thing here, he came in, he looked at things, And then he didn't say anything, he didn't do anything, and he went back. And we're going to see him today as a surveyor. I tell you what, this was a big thing going on in Jerusalem. Huge. Josephus, in his writing, estimated about 2 million Jews would, and other nations would come together for that feast. 2 million. That's a huge crowd. So preparation were made to receive people. Preparation were made in the temple. Things looked very impressive, I would think. But do you know, Jesus, looking at the temple, he was not impressed, and we know why. He wasn't impressed. He saw a busy church preparing for a great festivity. Oh, a lot of preparation. People were busy, group here, group there, preparing. And he didn't see heart devotion. He didn't see it. He didn't see the heart devotion. It's like the heart of the people, the priests, were not there. You know what he said? These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So that's what he saw. The heart of the people were wells. There were no faith. He didn't see faith toward God. What he really saw, he saw a religion that forsakes its own Messiah. They're very good. They're very Savior. The religion, stay away. We're busy. But to men's eyes, things look very good. And the preparation he saw were not to receive him. Year after year, people would come to Jerusalem for the same thing. Year after year. The soul came hungry, and they would go back hungry. Because there wasn't anything spiritual taking place. This was just a big party, just a big getting together. It's like we would call even our daily or weekly fellowship, whatever. It's like when you say fellowship, you see food. You know, it's like when you say Christmas, you see all the things. It's like even now when you say Easter, really you see the chocolates, you see the eggs, you see. So that's what happened. The people came, but they went back empty. And there is a court called Court of the Gentiles. The court of Gentiles was there to minister to the Gentiles, or people who come. It was a corner that they were supposed to minister, but we know ministering was not taking place. It was more formality, taking care of business. And that's why as a church and whatever we are doing, it's important to remember it's not about getting things done right. More, it isn't about soul. Sometimes we offend souls over formalities. That is very important. You remember the eunuch? The eunuch came to Jerusalem. He probably come every year. But he was going back empty. Nobody shared with him. He didn't even know where Passover came from and why he was there, what was the meaning out of it, what to expect. They did not even think about Jesus, the Messiah, being. They didn't even worry about the prophecy that the Messiah would come. Nothing. Isaiah 53, and then it was, he was going back empty, and as he was going back, he was reading. And then you know the rest of the story. Philip was sent by the Holy Spirit, and then it was on his way back, that's when he found what he should be, what he should find at the temple. It's like people come to church, they don't get what they should get in church, because church has all the stuff they're taking care of. Jesus saw in his survey, he saw a convenient religion. That's what he saw. He saw a convenient religion. They know it's people are coming from everywhere. And they advertise. They say, well, you know, you're coming from far away. Don't worry about bringing sheep, bringing the sacrifice. We'll make it easy for you. We will, you know, you just pay a little fee and we'll sell you one when you get here. Make it convenient. And it's like for us today, and it's like, okay, you know, we want to make our church so friendly that anybody can come. We will work on the music. We will work on the preaching. We will make it, you know, we'll make every effort we can not to touch on the hard subject. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about sin, hell, and all the hard things people don't want to hear about. If you come to our church, it will be all about God's love. It will be all about the love of God, the grace of God. That's all it is about. Don't worry, we're not going to scare you. We make it easy for you. We're nice preaching, and especially less preaching. Preaching will not be long. That's what Jesus saw. He saw a convenient religion. And then he saw a corrupted religion, a religion without compassion. He saw a Christless religion. I tell you what, do you know? The priests could care less about the souls. They were taking care of business. Yeah. That's why Jesus saw a commercialized religion in there too. They had their business. These guys, they had their field right outside the temple filled with lamb, goats, and everything for sacrifice. And they had a corner for inspections, because everybody who brought their own lamb, they have to be inspected by the priests. And guess what? The priests have their own business. And your lamb must be very good to pass inspection. And you know what they would do? They just look at the lamb and say, nah, I'm sorry, this is not going to pass. It's, you know, I look at the eyes not bright, are not bright enough, and I think the tail is a little too short or too long, and I'm sorry. But what can I do? Well, if you go this way, they're selling some there, you know. And you know what? What's so terrible? The same lamb who did not pass inspection, they keep it. And they take it to the flock to sell to somebody else. Because nothing was wrong with this lamb. So that's what Jesus saw. That's what he saw. Now, brothers and sisters, do you know what and who is the temple of the Holy Spirit this day? Do you know who? We are. We are the temple. We are the temple today, now. Do you know that Jesus is surveying, estimating our lives as we're speaking, and he knows everything? Nothing is hidden. What do you think he is looking inside of us right now? What does he see in us? that nobody else can see, because nobody else saw what Jesus saw. They came for party, even though they missed something, they didn't even know what it was. Jesus is digging inside of you, inside of me. I hope he doesn't see a temple filled with tables, with tables for business, malice. He doesn't see sincerity. He doesn't see care for souls. I hope he just doesn't see all we are in it for is for our own benefits, interests. What can I get out of it? Even if that's mean to rob my brother, to rob my sister. I hope he doesn't see we just want the Gentiles to come so we can have a bigger crowd and for bigger benefits because we have the lamb to be sold. I hope he doesn't see that we will use this feast for private business, private gain. And we are the temple today. We are. I, for the last 2 months, been convicted with the word of Paul to the Philippi when he said, I plan to send to you soon Timothy. That's my goal. That's what I want to do because I want to be comforted when I hear about your state, when I hear about how you're doing. And he said, because I have no one like-minded who would naturally care for your state. We're talking about Apostle Paul. He knew many people. He had many co-workers. But he said, Timothy, beside him, I have no one like-minded who would naturally, not forcing, not have to, but naturally care for your state because all seek their own interests. I would like Jesus to say that to you and to me. He would say, I have no one like-minded. Because when I look, when I survey, when I go into your temple, all I see people who cares for souls. Naturally. This is what this week is all about. It's all about the lamb coming. The lamb came to lay his life. And he clearly said, as I laid my life for you, that you lay your life for your brethren. And I hope and pray that you take this week to meditate on that. Like I said, it's about 20 chapters. I'm not asking you. I'm just saying if you could take 3 chapters a day for the last 7 days, you would cover the whole thing. 3 chapters. Just meditate on that week, what Jesus is going through. And he says now, he was sent, and he sent you, he sent me. I hope and pray that this week, will make change in your life and you see Christianity, you see you being living for Christ, you see it way differently. And I hope and pray most of all that you see you as the temple. And if Jesus would have to come back the next day, the first day he just surveyed, he didn't do anything, right? He went and thought about it and he came back the next day. And he did some work. He did some work. We don't have to let him do that. We can do it ourselves. May God bless you.